With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from Wild Turkey Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Let's tune in to their one-on-one with Jamal, a real bartender from Old Fourth Ward in Atlanta.
I really get into the backstory of whatever I'm pouring. Out of respect, there are literally years of experience behind these bottles. Wild Turkey, same recipe since 1942. If you want a true classic, this is what you want to order.
Wild Turkey. Wild Turkey Distilling Company, Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. Copyright 2020, Campari America, New York, New York. Never compromise, drink responsibly.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast, the Friday DFS version. I am Scott Genstead, joined as always by Andrew Laird. It is week five of the NFL season. We are clicking along pretty good here. Andrew, how are you this Friday morning?
Better than some of the NFL players who are not going to be playing this weekend. We keep talking about how there's going to be some COVID issues, and boy, are we getting some COVID issues. And so this weekend, we've already lost two games on this Sunday slate that we're going to be previewing. It might be a third. And I don't know. What do you think about Tuesday night football?
I kind of like it. I kind of like the doubleheader Monday night games, we're being honest. I mean, you're an East Coast guy, so it must be nice to, like, actually get a Monday night football game you can watch before you have to go to bed at halftime. So there is that. And, like, West Coast, unless it's 4 o'clock, I'm like, oh, there's a game on, and there's another game on top of that. I would not argue with doubleheader Monday nights and get rid of Thursday night moving forward. I know that'll never, ever happen because the NFL's never giving up that Thursday night huge TV money. But if I were to, like, pick as a fan and a fantasy player, I would much prefer that.
Yeah, it's too bad that they pretty much can only handle, like, one game a week, because, like, I think if you did Thursday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, like, I think people would be fine having it every day. And actually, I thought that was kind of where we were heading with all the COVID stuff, that, like, eventually they would just have games every day, kind of. They did that with soccer a lot, where instead of playing, like, a huge slate on Saturday, they would just spread it out. But it's easier to play multiple soccer games in a week than football. So, yeah, we'll see.
Real quick before we jump to the slate, did you get a chance to watch the end of the game last night?
Or read
about it this morning?
I was going to say, certainly didn't watch it live, but I did see everything that happened last night. And as a lifelong Jets fan who had to watch Tom Brady be perfect for so long, it was just glorious to see.
So here's my thing. Like, Tom Brady's a Bay Area guy. I've always rooted for him. He got a little bit weird lately, but you know what? Stop acting like we're stupid. Like, obviously you thought it was third down when it was really fourth down. You're yelling at the ref, it's fourth down, put your fingers up. And then both him and Arians post game are like, yeah, I knew it was fourth down. It's like, just admit you were wrong. Like, we all make mistakes. Every player makes mistakes. Brady doesn't make many of them. He's won, whatever, 108 Super Bowls, but, like, just admit you were wrong. Like, it's on film. Like, what do you like? You just stop acting like we're idiots.
Yeah, I think it's funny how, like, professional athletes sometimes forget that, like, everything they do is on camera.
Of course, yeah.
But it was just very un-Brady-like, and it seemed like he went to the sideline to, like, blame somebody else, as if, like, they were discussing it. Maybe that happened. Like, maybe the discussion before that play was that it was only third down, but. I don't know. As Michael Strahan said this morning on Good Morning America, I don't feel bad for Tom Brady at all.
My favorite was Troy Aikman. He's like, well, you know, when you're running the 2-minute drill and you spike it to stop the clock, sometimes you lose track of the downs, which is an excellent point if Tampa Bay had actually spiked the downs in any part of that series. So yeah. I was like, yeah, that's a great point, Troy, but not what happened right here. But way to stick up for Tom, though.
Yeah, I mean, Aikman's always going to stick up for his fellow quarterbacks, which
of course
they all do. So
of course. So let's jump into Week 5. Real quick, it's a little bit less of a slate than we first anticipated, as you mentioned at the top. We've got Tampa Bay, Chicago, which we mentioned right now is a Thursday game. Minnesota, Seattle, which could be a fun game, is Sunday night. Big over-under on that game, 57 and over-under on that game, but that's off the slate. The Chargers and Saints play Monday night, so that's off the slate. But the big deal is we got two byes. We have the Packers and Lions are on a bye. We have our first, official scheduled byes, obviously Pittsburgh and Tennessee had the bye last week, but this is our first scheduled bye. And then we have two games that have moved off Sunday. Tennessee, Buffalo are playing Monday, I believe, and Denver, New England are playing maybe Tuesday. I may have that backwards. I have that backwards. Yeah. Either way, they're Monday and Tuesday. But your Jets this morning, there was apparently a positive test like 10 minutes before we jumped on here. I just saw that on Twitter. So Jets, Cardinals, we are going to address in this podcast. We prepped for it. We don't know that's being moved. You know, that test could be a false positive. They could move forward like they did with the Bears Atlanta game week 2, I believe. So we're talking about that in the slate, but just know as we're recording at 7:20 Pacific time on Friday morning, Jets Cardinals now officially up in the air.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to imagine that people saw the Jets on the schedule, and so they're like, oh, who are they playing? Because I'll just play those guys. But yeah. I guess the concern is that so the Jets sent everybody home today. So I imagine even if the subsequent test comes back negative, that they're not getting a full workday in, which means they could move the game to Monday. The Cardinals are supposed to fly out from Arizona today. So they're kind of waiting until this other test. So even if they, I mean, that's like an all day flight anyway. So
yes. Yeah. I'm guessing they're not jumping on a 5-hour flight unless we're pretty sure they're playing.
Right. Exactly. So we'll,
it's a huge travel thing, you know, obviously with COVID and everything, last thing you want to do is jump on a plane for no reason.
Right.
So I assume we're getting pushed back on that game, but we've seen it before where a team that was home had some stuff and it kind of worked itself out. Like I mentioned, the Bears Falcons game. So we're going to keep it, on the slate. But just a heads up that it may be coming off and we don't, we talked earlier, neither of us love anybody in that game, I don't think, but so we'll just hit on those guys pretty quickly. But
yeah, I just quickly just removed Flacco from the lock list. That's all.
Yeah, I know. Flacco was so set in my lineup too. It's a bummer.
Easy play.
I have Joe Flacco PTSD, so I don't even talk about Joe Flacco because he played three good games his whole career and they happened to be in the Super Bowl against the 49ers. It was a good time.
Sounds like Eli Manning's career.
Yeah, no doubt. I think last week it was funny. I kind of highlighted the fact that we had seven games. They're over 50 points on the over-under. I think that's kind of the NFL world we're living in right now. I mean, a lot of those games, there were a lot of high-scoring games. Again, we've got we have six games that are over 50 on the over-under this week. So I think it's going to be, it's funny because like week 2, we had one or two games. And I think Vegas has obviously realized that these games are going over. There's a lot of offense. But real quickly, we've got Carolina, Atlanta, which, it kind of jumped off the page. There's a lot of fireworks over under 54 in that game. Lines are of last night, Thursday night. Las Vegas at Kansas City is a 55. Jacksonville, Houston's a 54.5. Cincy at Baltimore is a 51, and Miami at San Francisco is a 51.5, which I did not see that coming. That line jumped from 46 to 51 just based on news that Jimmy Garoppolo was probably going to play, which after watching Nick Mullins play on Sunday night, I guess makes a lot of sense because he was freaking awful. The other game that I wanted to highlight just real quick before we jump into players, the Giants at Dallas is just fascinating. Like, this is a game that the Giants have been awful on offense. Dallas has been great on offense, but Dallas has been so bad on defense. It's over-under 54. Dallas has allowed 146 points on the season through 4 weeks, which is just a crazy number when you think about it, say it out loud. The wild thing about this game, though, is the New York Giants offense has scored one touchdown on offense in the last three games. So this is like the ultimate like rubber meets the road. I have no idea what the Giants offense is going to look like here because they've been awful.
I think the Giants win the game.
Oh my gosh, really?
Wow, yeah,
we got hot take in the first 6 minutes.
That's there it is. Yeah, the NFC East is so bad that like anything can happen. I was talking to a buddy of mine who's a Giants fan, and I'm like, if you think the Giants are out of this division race, like you're nuts. And so
nobody's out of that division race. That's for sure.
I mean, if it's possible to win a division at 6-10, I think somebody's going to do it this year. Hopefully we get 16 games in, but like it wouldn't shock anybody. I mean, this is a classic NFC East game, Giants, Cowboys. Like these games are always like close. You know, what is it? Cowboys are favored by 9, which is like That's nuts to me, even how horrific the Giants have been.
They're like, I'm doing survivor pools, and I don't think I can touch Dallas.
No way.
Survivor pool, right? They're like one of the bigger favorites.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have Kansas City available if you use them. I think it was week one. A lot of people use them that opening night game against Houston. But I don't know. I don't think I can trust a team that's given up 146 points through 4 weeks.
Yeah. And the Giants offense, I mean, obviously has been horrible, but like we have seen them be good last year, at least. And most of the skill players are the same, have a few injuries and whatnot, but like don't be surprised if the Giants come out and actually play that one tightly.
I guess I know your cheap DFS quarterback then.
Not quite. There is a cheap one that I do
like. Spoiler alert. There's a cheap one I like more too, so we'll get to that. So it's weird. Like with these high totals, we don't have a lot of low totals. Like last season we did this every week, and we had some 38s, some 39s, a lot of 40s. The lowest game on this slate is Philly at Pittsburgh at 44.5. The Rams at Washington's 46.5. Indy and Cleveland's 47. I mean, those are games that used to be totals that were like kind of in the middle for us and games that are pretty live. And now they're just like, you have a 44.5 over under. You kind of get buried on the slate.
Yeah, you don't even really consider it. It's kind of shocking to see the Jets. I think they were 47 if they do play, which like that's probably one of the higher totals they've played all season, which is not because of the Jets. But
and the funny thing is, we talk so much about the Cardinals' offense being fast. They have they've played four games, all of them under.
Huh? So they're playing faster, just not scoring.
Yeah, and they're apparently not giving up that many points either, which I guess is good too. But I think we kind of think of the Cardinals kind of this carnival of points, and they've I guess Vegas probably thought so either. Maybe the lines were too high, but yeah, they're 0-4, I guess, if you want to call it on the over so far this year.
Yeah, but it is just kind of weird how occasionally we're like, oh, this game maybe is 46.5, 47, like that's a pretty good one, but like you're really not looking at those games when there are four or five that are above it.
It's definitely a different NFL to start the year, both on offense and defense. But let's jump into the running backs. We have a top guy that's kind of clearly the top guy this week. Ezekiel Elliott, 7,800 on DraftKings, 9,000 on FanDuel. I mean, tough to figure. I mean, last week we're like, oh, Dallas is a great game script this week. They're playing Cleveland. They're at home, and all of a sudden they were down like 44-0 after the first quarter. They came back. Dak threw for 500 yards, but
right, of course,
you know. Zeke has been getting game scripted out if it were a regular running back, but he still has 20 plus touches every week. They haven't been overly efficient, but they have been. He has been there. He has been piling up total yards. He's been scoring. Dallas has led for 7 offensive snaps all season long, which is another crazy stat. Obviously, they had that comeback against Atlanta where they didn't lead for any, but this is a great game script. You mentioned the 9-point favorite. The Giants have been pretty good against the run, you know, kind of middle of the pack. I absolutely love Zeke this week, but what do you think?
I mean, he makes a ton of sense. I feel like normally he would be more expensive.
What I thought too.
He's the most expensive running back on DraftKings if you throw out McCaffrey, who at 8,600 you would be all over if he was actually healthy for this game. But
I'm going to throw out McCaffrey this week.
But I mean, we do lose, like we lose Derrick Henry. I don't know how many people are going to go after him home against Buffalo, but. Zeke definitely seems like the clear pay-up option. I just feel like we're getting, it's not nearly to the extreme, but it feels a little bit like Odell Beckham last year where we're like, his price keeps going down. There's a perfect spot for him. He should really explode. And then like the next week we're like, well, it just didn't happen, but this week he'll definitely be it. And so like Zeke hasn't been horrible. Like I think that's the only thing that's like keeping him in the conversation is that it's almost impossible to have like a really bad game with the number of touches he gets, but like,
yeah. And I mean, and as they trail, like they're clearly using him as he has 20 targets, I think the last 2 weeks or something like that. So he's in a lot of passes too, which it makes you feel a little bit better if they do get a weird game flow, at least he's gonna be involved too.
Yeah. That's he definitely brings the safety there. And obviously the upside is high. You just, for how well Dak has been playing and you know, the expectation is that they won't have to play like they did every other game this season because they're playing the Giants. But I don't know. There are builds that I made with Zeke and those without, and I'm just not sure it the benefit of having him outweighs the guys that I have to give up to.
Yeah, and that's fair. So let's jump down to some of the other guys. I think we're going to jump down under 7,000, though. So it's a pretty big jump down. First guy I want to talk about, I think, is going to be pretty popular this week is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. The worst defense he's faced in a while. They're facing Vegas. The Chiefs have played some pretty tough defenses in this stretch. 6,800 on DraftKings, 7,900 on FanDuel. Vegas has allowed the most fantasy points per game to running backs this year, so the matchup's definitely there. He had 19 touches last week, 26 touches the week before. Hasn't really blown up. You know, he had a lot of hype coming into this season. He was moving up in the first round when Damian Williams opted out. Vegas has given up 8 touchdowns to running backs so far. This seems like a spot where he's going to be pretty highly owned, I think.
Yeah, I think that's Edwards-Helaire.
Helaire. Steve Levy is grinning somewhere.
I will say that there's a subscriber in our Discord chat who is I believe he actually works for ESPN, and so he was actually saying that Clyde Edwards-Helaire has like made it public that that is how you say his name, and Steve Levy wanted to make sure that everybody like really got the point. So
does that mean I have to do it too?
I don't think we have to go so dramatically Levy, but anyway.
We're going full silent H then. I will go with that.
And the hard E, so Helaire. but I think he's the reason, he's the easy reason not to play Zeke. And so, I mean, there are certainly going to be people who play both of them. There are cheaper running backs, I think, that are certainly in play to, if you don't necessarily want to play both. But yeah, he'll definitely be really, really popular. And there's really no, I mean, the hesitation you always have with him is like, what happens if Mahomes, it's just a Mahomes game. And, you know, we right. have seen those before, but he gets involved enough. And theoretically, you have to hope that if Mahomes has a Mahomes game, then they just use Edwards-Helaire to finish the game out. And so he's right. still going to get the touches anyway. So, yeah, he's every ownership projection I've seen has him sky high, and there's a very good reason for him to be there. And so I think he certainly will be one of the most popular players in cash games.
Yeah. And your comment about Zeke makes a lot of sense. I like Helaire a lot this week too. And if I go there, I probably won't go Zeke with him, but I may mess with that a little bit, but you're right. He's the best argument. You save $1,000 and a really great matchup and obviously a phenomenal offense. So usually when we get injuries, you know, then we're like, oh, we got this cheap running back. We got someone at 4,500. We can play this week. We've got the big injury. Nick Chubb got hurt. We got Kareem Hunt, who has looked good, obviously has had a great history of being really good and talented when he was with the Chiefs, but he's 6,500 on DraftKings. He's not free by any means. He's 7,000 on FanDuel, but this Browns run game has been absolutely unbelievable. You look at the stats, they're averaging 204.5 yards per game rushing the ball. The next highest is New England at 179.8, and that's with a running back, or that's with a quarterback who's averaged 50 yards a week the first 3 weeks running the ball. So like they get that big boost. Third highest is Baltimore, which obviously gets a huge boost for Lamar. So Baker Mayfield's not running the ball that much. This is clearly a very running back driven stat for them. And they're not only up there, but they are leading it by 20 yards per game. Darius Leonard, who is Indianapolis's best linebacker who the Browns are playing, may not play. That's a pretty big thing too for stopping the run. The Colts have been pretty good against the run. I don't think they haven't allowed a running back over 65 yards. Dalvin Cook's the only like really good one they've played, but still been pretty good against the run. Hunt does have a little bit of a groin tweak that's worth monitoring if you're going to play him, but 6,500, I find it hard to get away from Kareem Hunt with the way that the Browns are running this offense right now.
Yeah, I think the only hesitation is really how much of the work he gets. Like,
yeah,
he obviously was getting a decent amount when Chubb was healthy, but when Chubb went down last week, like we still saw Dearness Johnson got 13 carries, actually more than Chubb. Dontrell Hilliard had 5 carries. Picked all of that from Jerry's hidden stat line this week. But it just seems like they don't really want to use one guy. And so if that's not the case, like Hunt is kind of, not that he's necessarily priced as if he's going to get every carry in this matchup, but, you know, like Hunt's been good enough with Chubb around that right. that's why he's not that cheap. And so
Yeah, when I clicked it, I was like, all right, I bet maybe we're going to get like 5,700 in here. And I was definitely off on that. I mean, it makes sense. You're right. I think he's been like running back 7 or something like that, even with Chubb there. But I don't know. I think that you talk about those other names. I think that Chubb and Hunt are a pretty significant jump up from those guys. And Hunt was not as involved because Chubb was there. I mean, Chubb might be a top 3 like pure running back in the league right now. I like Hunt a lot this week, but you make some good points on the other guy. I don't know how much they're going to lean on him. And at the price, they kind of have to lean on him for it to work.
Yeah, I think part of the reason I don't love Hunt as much is because there are other guys that are a little cheaper that I feel like you're a little more comfortable. Like $100 less on DraftKings is Mike Davis, and paying $6,400 for Mike Davis feels weird when like Josh Jacobs is $100 cheaper. But like Davis, I mean, we've been saying it, like if you're going to get 75 to 80% of the work that Christian McCaffrey got at 6,400, why not?
In a game that is, you know, has kind of written on it like it's going to be a lot of points. I mean, obviously have a high over-under, but you can kind of feel that game getting a little bit out of control points-wise too.
Yeah, and we'll get to the other guys for the Panthers later, but like I think the only hesitation on Davis is you could also really like the Panthers passing game. And for somebody like me who, you know, it's a single cash lineup, like you're not going in like, right, how many Panthers do I want? And so you get a little hesitancy there, but
that was an excellent tease for the upcoming DJ Moore discussion.
Oh, that's not, no, that he's not even part of the discussion for me anymore.
Other guys, you mentioned Josh Jacobs in this range. I don't love Josh Jacobs this week just because I think they're going to be trailing Kansas City, and he is a guy that you do want some game script action with. But one of the guys in the 6,000 I wanted to mention to you before we kind of jump down, James Robinson for Jacksonville. They're at Houston this week. Houston has been absolutely horrendous against the run. They're allowing 5.4 yards per carry, which is pretty crazy through 4 weeks. Not a great game script. Jacksonville is an underdog in this game, but he does have 4+ targets each last week. So using him in the pass game too. He has over 100 yards, total yards in the last 3 weeks. And I, you know, you mentioned Mike Davis, 6,400. If you told me that James Robinson would be 6,700 a couple weeks ago, I would have thought you were crazy. But Dalvin Cook was 27 for a buck 30 and 2 touchdowns on Houston last week. James Conner went nuts, 18 for 109 and a touchdown in week 3. The Ravens had like 3 guys do well in week 2, and it goes all the way back. Houston just getting thrashed in the run game. Are you considering Robinson just because of the matchup?
Definitely because of the matchup. The price is a little tough to swallow. Like, I just don't see how he fits. Like, being $100 less than Edwards-Helaire, it seems like it's just too tight. Like,
yeah, $1,300 less than Helaire on FanDuel and $1,600 less than Jacobs on FanDuel, which is
that's why
I think, yeah, Robinson is more of a FanDuel play than a DraftKings play.
Yep, absolutely. Particularly because like he doesn't rely so much on the passing work, since you don't get the full point per reception at FanDuel. But yeah, stealing like more from Jerry's article, like we look at Chris Thompson as like their passing down back, but like last week he was saying pretty much Robinson played everything except like third and like long. And okay, so like, if that's the case, like third and relatively short, if Robinson's still on the field, like that makes him much more of a much closer to a bell cow than kind, yeah, of a
Thompson played 16 snaps total last week.
Yeah, that's
which is, you know, after getting 6 targets before, you thought maybe they're kind of building towards him, and he didn't touch the ball last week.
Yeah, exactly. Like literally did not touch the ball. 24% snap share. So like,
he may have recovered a fumble or something, but I don't think he touched the ball.
I think Robinson makes like a great GPP play just because like, yeah, he makes sense. The price is a little weird, but like in GPP you can make up for that because you're playing for upside, so you can spend down at other spots where if you hit the home run, then it pays off. But I mean, I'll play him.
He's hidden with Hunt and Helaire there. You got to think the percentage is pretty low on him.
Yeah. And like, I'm not playing Miles Sanders against Pittsburgh, but like, that's a possibility too. If I'd probably play like, that's more somebody that people are more comfortable playing than Robinson at this point.
Yeah, I mean, other guys in this range, Joe Mixon, James Conner, Miles Sanders, all not really big plays for me just based on kind of matchup this week. You know, Mixon's at Baltimore, so the game script, he's a guy that you want the game script to work his way.
It's about as bad as it comes.
Yeah, James Conner, 6,900, little pricey, and you know, Philly is definitely better on defense than the last couple matchups he had. They've only allowed one running back over 55 yards this year. It was our not friend Darrell Henderson, who did not do well for us last week, but he had a good game against him. But Mixon, Connors, and Sanders for me all kind of fall off just because I like Hunt, Robertson, and Helaire and Davis more this week.
Yeah, totally agree. They're in that range, but I mean, we've got cheaper guys.
I was going to say, under 6,000, there's 3 guys that I have highlighted. And the first one is a guy that I had no interest in drafting, have not had any interest in playing this at all this season. But Todd Gurley is 5,700 on DraftKings. He looks pretty fried to me a lot of the time, but he's involved. He has 4 rushing touchdowns. It's a good game script. They're a home favorite against Carolina in a game that should be high scoring. He has 0 involvement in the passing game, though. So if they get behind, this is a play that really will get buried on you. He's only been over 65 yards rushing once, but he's getting the touchdowns. And we talked about every week so far, Carolina gets running backs as a touchdown paradise. They've given up 8 so far to running backs. I don't like him as a player. I just like the situation. I still don't think I'm going to get there on Gurley this week.
Yeah, I just struggle so much. Like, in the Panthers' defense is like, you automatically go to whoever the running back is, and then you see it's Gurley, and you're just like, can it be anyone else? Like, you hope that, like, not that you hope Gurley gets hurt, but, like, I'd be happy to play, like, Brian Hill against them, but, like, I don't know. It's like, it just seems like a pure matchup play to me. Like, there's nothing else that makes me think it's like a worthwhile play. And it's not like the Falcons are like going to destroy Carolina, and so that they have to like run the game out on them. So, I will say I'd play him over Drake though.
Oh God. I thought we had agreed just not to mention Kenyon Drake ever again.
I feel like we had to mention it at least on the podcast, the never
it
again.
It sucks
Drake.
Because I'd love to just cross him off, except they play the Jets this week, which is like, should be a good game script. A lot of plays run. I don't know. Last week he did nothing against Carolina, kind of got tweaked and then came back and then was back out. I wouldn't be shocked if they start to move towards a little bit of a timeshare with Chase Edmonds. I don't think I can go back there with Drake myself, but I understand if someone wants to against the Jets, but I just think there's other guys I like more this week.
Yeah, part of me wants them, you know, obviously you hope that they can play that game just because of the COVID situation, but obviously if more people are going to play Kenyon Drake, I'd be happy to have them in the player pool, but I'd play Edmonds. Like, that's the problem. Like, I think the timeshare really should just be Edmonds and just like forget about Drake. But
that whole offense has been weird and ugly. And we'll get into Kyler when we hit the quarterbacks. But a couple other running backs I want to mention. Jerick McKinnon for the 49ers. Good game script against Miami. They're like 7-point favorites at home. Did not look good last week. But I personally, obviously, I'm a 49ers fan. I don't think Raheem Mostert's going to play. He's practiced a little bit this week. I think Garoppolo's going to play. I think this is the last game on the schedule before it really, really ramps up. Their like next 5 games are really difficult. I think that Shanahan thinks he can win this game without Mostert. I don't think he thinks he can win it without Garoppolo, and it's a must win. They really need this one. So I think Garoppolo is going to play, but I think that with McKinnon and Jeffrey Wilson, I think they're comfortable letting Mostert sit 1 week, and they're going to need him for this next stretch of games. So I personally don't think Mostert's going to play. Obviously you want to, you know, check that on Sunday morning. I just think they're getting him ready. I think he's going to sit one more week. But with that noted, if he does not play, Jerick McKinnon in a good setup, he played 67 snaps last week. They got off the turf in New York and kind of got going. It was pretty clear that they had pulled back on him a little bit, but they took the reins off last week. 14 carries, 54 yards. He had 8 targets, 7 catches for 43 yards. He's very involved in the passing game, and I think even with Garoppolo, that still will be the case. Debo Samuel still kind of working himself back. Only played 25 snaps last week, and Grant George Kittle had 38 catches or whatever it was, but he was awesome. I just think it's a good game script. I think it's a good setup for McKinnon. I think maybe the Mostert coming back maybe pulls people off him a little bit. He scored every week though. Like, they're clearly using him pretty significantly.
Yeah, I mean, he led the NFL last week in snap share, 92%. He ran 41 routes, which was 6 more than the next highest guy. Almost a 20% target share. I mean, obviously the quarterback situation is going to be a little different if Garoppolo is able to come back, but like Garoppolo still will throw to him. So I think the hesitancy on McKinnon, it was always about like what happens when they get to the goal line and Wilson will take it. But it's like, if you're going to get every other touch, like, I think that's a risk you can take certainly at 5,800.
Yeah, and I mean, the Niners have struggled to start the season, but I think this offense is really going to get firing with Garoppolo back and Debo back. Brandon Ayuk had like the touchdown of the year last week. Yeah. That like the hurdle never works except when it does.
Yeah.
Awesome. And he like kind of like hesitated in the air and landed on one foot. I was like, that's just way too athletic for me to even think about. But I go McKinnon over Gurley this week, which is kind of in that range, and that probably makes a decision. Is that head to head might matter for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's easy. That's easy for me.
I want to drop down just for one more guy. A guy we talked about week one that was popular because he was super cheap and, you know, he was not very involved and has been getting building up the snap count and the touches is Antonio Gibson. They do play the Rams. It's not a great game script, but the guy that, you know, is very, very good, established as a receiver too. Getting more involved each week. Last week, he was 13 carries of 46 yards and a touchdown, had 5 targets. They kind of got him out on the edge a little bit too. He had 82 yards on those 4 catches. So he was a little getting him out in space, which is what you want to do with Antonio Gibson. He's a really, really athletic and fast guy. He scored each of the past 3 weeks. He only played 31 snaps last week, which kind of jumped out to me. Like, yeah, he got a lot more touches, but he's still not out there all the time, which I really like in a running back, obviously. But 5,000, you know, there's not a ton of running backs down here this week that are playable. I think he's playable. He's probably more of a GPP guy than a cash guy for me, but he's definitely in the mix.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Does a quarterback change bother you at all? Or does it make you feel better?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I wish that they had someone better coming in to replace Haskins. Kyle Allen was, you know, I think kind of just a guy last year. He had some flashes, and it wasn't horrible, but I mean, definitely wasn't good. I don't know. I don't think it really impacts it that much. I think I kind of look at him and McLaurin kind of in the same way. Maybe even might like McLaurin a little more, because I think Haskins is just so inaccurate.
Yeah, I mean, is there any reason to think like, well, Kyle Allen loved to throw to Christian McCaffrey, so maybe he'll throw to Gibson?
Sure. I mean, I don't think that's crazy. I mean, I think some of that is probably the Carolina offense too, but you know, you got a Rams team that can rush the quarterback. Aaron Donald's going to live in Kyle Allen's, you know, pocket all day. But you know, as the rush comes, you dump it off to someone with a lot of speed like that. It works out pretty well for a game script, I think, for him, because I think he'll be involved a bunch, even if they're trailing in the second half.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. Like you said, it's that's like a pure GPP play for me, but
I think so too.
I get it.
Is there anybody lower than him that you're considering this week?
What are the thoughts on Devontae Freeman as the Giants run out their game against the Cowboys?
Funny, but he looks like he has a little bit of juju still left, but I am not playing Devontae Freeman this
yeah.
week.
Yeah, okay. Just checking.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. It's definitely a good thought, especially because you think the Giants are going to win that game by 31 points. I was a joke, by the way. I hope nobody took that. Hope nobody out there took that seriously. So let's jump into the passing game, but first a note from our sponsor, Prediction Strike. Prediction Strike is a fantasy sports stock market in which you can buy and sell shares of professional athletes as if they were stocks. Ever heard someone say, I've had stock in this player since day one? Well, now Prediction Strike makes that a real possibility. You had stock in Brandon Ayuk this rookie year. You knew this was going to happen. Now it's a reality. Create a portfolio of all your favorite athletes and get closer to the game than ever before. To get started, simply visit PredictionStrike.com to create an account. Then you deposit funds to buy, sell, and hold shares of your favorite players, just like you would real stocks. Each game is like an earnings report. If the player beats his predictions, his stock moves up. It's that easy. You can trade your shares of players at any time as long as that player isn't currently playing in a game. Get started today by visiting PredictionStrike.com and sign up with the code ROTOWIRE to get an additional $10 with your first deposit of $20 or more. So, Andrew, we've got the MVP last year, Lamar Jackson, up there at the top salary quarterback on DraftKings. Mahomes is the highest on FanDuel, but Lamar Jackson's under 8,000 this week. You know, kind of dropping down a little bit. He has not been great fantasy wise so far. He hasn't topped 205 passing yards the last 3 weeks. He had that 97 yard game against the Chiefs. He's only been over 55 yards rushing once. He did have the nice touchdown run last week. I kind of feel like the blow-up game's coming, and Cincinnati might be that spot. It feels, you know, this is not it's super deep analysis, but it kind of feels like Lamar's due for one of those big, gigantic Lamar games.
Yeah, I mean, the reason we always have to pay up for Lamar is because the rushing floor gives you that, like, you know, I mean, the Chiefs game aside, I guess, but, like, you know the minimum number of points you're going to get, whereas everybody else, it's like their minimum is much lower than his. And so, you know, you're not necessarily paying that much for his ceiling, although that obviously comes with it. Quarterbacks are really expensive on DraftKings this week. Like,
they are.
We had multiple slates already where, like, we had maybe two guys who were over 7,000, and now we have five, obviously including Lamar. So I'm kind of wondering I guess one of them includes Josh Allen, who's not going to play. So, I don't know. I feel like they're kind of clumped enough where you're like, well, if I'm going to pay 74 for Dak, maybe I can just find the 500 and play Lamar. Like, I think Lamar could be the most popular quarterback only because these other guys are not that much. Like, you're not saving that much by going to them.
Yep.
And otherwise, there are some, like, very cheap ones that people could try to get by with.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a, you know, Lamar, Dak, Mahomes, or you're going under 6,000 this week. I think it's going to be a stars or scrubs approach at quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, you don't think people would play Kyler if he played?
He's 7,200, so I kind of put him up there. But no, I think that Deshaun Watson would be the guy in the middle range that people would play. I at 6,900 against Jacksonville, I think that would be a more popular play, to be honest.
Okay, that's fair. I mean,
And he's the guy, if I'm going to go middle range, he's the guy that I do like.
Yeah, nope, I agree with you on that one. He wasn't so bad last week, thankfully.
But you click on, yeah, he was bad early, and then he kind of came on late. But you click on the slate, and you're like, oh, Lamar Jackson under 8,000. It kind of jumps out to you, like, you know, that's he killed Cincy last year. He had two 30-point fantasy games in the two games against them. Yeah, I mean, the only thing with Lamar is that they are a big favorite, and if they're leading in the second half, you know, I don't think Harbaugh is going to have him, you know, running a ton. Obviously, they're just going to hand the ball to Ingram and Dobbins and Gus Edwards.
So equally, of course.
I know, exactly. I'm sure they're working out perfectly. Mm-hmm. That would be my only reservation, is I do think that if they're, you know, if it's 21-6 to start the second half, you know, maybe they come off the gas pretty good. And at the price, and all the other quarterbacks, you know, Dak Prescott throws for 300 yards every fourth quarter. at the price, you're going to want to play the full game and kind of a full go.
Yeah. At 7,900, you cannot get three quarters out of Lamar. And I mean, frankly, I guess he went home sick earlier this week and he has a little bit of a knee thing. Like, there's every reason for them to not play him as much as they can, because otherwise they should be able to handle Cincinnati pretty easily. But Watson stuck out to me just because this arbitrary round numbers, he's below 7,000, whereas these other guys are so much above it. But,
right.
So it feels like you're getting more of a discount, but
And he also got out of Bill O'Brien jail, which has to matter too.
Theoretically, although, I mean, we like to think that, but we obviously don't know a single thing of what's going to happen. And so, I think he was good even with O'Brien. So it's like maybe there was some comfort there that all of a sudden now he doesn't have. And so,
I was just thinking, mood and life-altering change. Oh, okay. Being away from Bill O'Brien must be a good feeling.
He just makes you feel better. Okay, I get that.
He seems like a grumpy human and not someone I really want to hang around.
I was actually looking at Minshew on the other side of that game, wondering if I was crazy to think that. I kind of feel like I'm crazy every time I think about Minshew, mostly because he's never... Like, I feel like 6,200 on DraftKings isn't that low, but it's also not that high. If I just always kind of consider, not a punt, but I feel like I'm just putting my trust in something that I have no real trust in, but I'm but he's 5,300, so it's fine. Whereas at 6,200, it feels a little more risky to me.
But I mean, two of the last 3 weeks, he's been over 335 yards passing and multiple touchdowns. So it's not like if you place your trust in him, you know, two of the last three, it came out pretty well. My only reservation there was that Houston just so bad against the run. But, you know, I think Jacksonville is going to have to be trailing this game. You know, we talked about we like Watson and they should be able to score. I want to go back to Watson real quick, though. It's been a weird year for him. Last year, he had 9 games. We had over 30 yards rushing. He has not topped 30 yards rushing yet this year. And, you know, sometimes you mentioned the arbitrary round numbers. Sometimes you get a lot of 28 and 29s mm-hmm. in there. But he's been single digit yards rushing the last 2 weeks. They're not really running the ball. He's getting sacked. You can kind of see, I watched the game last week because I played him in DraftKings. It kind of worked out. He ended up with 300 yards and 2 touchdowns. He kind of got there eventually.
Just got to 300.
Yeah, just got exactly at 300. But I mean, he had that, the Will Fuller play was a broken coverage and it worked out well. And the first touchdown to Will Fuller. Jacksonville's allowed 300 plus passing yards in 3 or 4 weeks. They've allowed 9 touchdowns passing to quarterbacks. So this is a combo. I think Watson needs to break out. I think Watson's really good in general, and Jacksonville's bad against the quarterback. So I think it kind of all works together pretty well on Watson at 6,900. If I'm in that, if I'm in that middle range, I don't want to pay up to Mahomes or Dak or Lamar. He's my target there. I would play him over Minshew for the $700 more.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
So I want to go back up just real quick. Dak Prescott, 7,400 on DraftKings. You mentioned that you think this game stays close. So that obviously helps him from a passing standpoint. But, I mean, these last 3 weeks are just nuts.
It's crazy. 450
yards and a touchdown, 472 and 3 touchdowns. And last week, 502 and 4 touchdowns. I mean, it's just wild. Last week we talked, maybe the game shift's not going to be the same against the Browns, but it clearly was. They got far behind and Odell Beckham went nuts. I mean, Prescott just has so many weapons, and even Dalton Schultz has kind of just filled in for Blake Jarwin. They haven't missed a beat there. You know, good Stanford player right there. But you got Lamb, you got Gallup, even Cedric Wilson. And obviously, Amari Cooper gets, 15 targets every week. And then you got Zeke out of the backfield. It's just this offense, the only way they really hold Dak back, I think, is if they do get ahead and they kind of run with Zeke the second half, which I think is going to happen. I think they're going to beat the Giants more heartily than you do. The Giants played really well last week against Jared Goff, which is strange, but then Nick Mullins smoked them the week before. So I don't think you can really fall back on too much of their performance against Goff. But I mean, how do you feel about going back to Dak? We talked about it a bunch last week, and then I just kind of did, and it worked out. My teams that did well last week were Dak teams, and it's just kind of easy. If you go 500 yards, you're going to cash, especially in a cash league, unless you're just horrible the rest of the way. But Where do you fall on Dak this week, thinking that you think the Giants stay close?
I mean, I think he's fine. Like, I think there's no reason to think that he won't have a good game. I think I'm more likely to play one of his wide receivers than Dak himself, which is weird because, like, it's not like one specific. I mean, Amari Cooper has been getting the a lot of the more consistent targets, at least, versus like Gallup and CeeDee Lamb. They're actually the exact same price on DraftKings, Prescott and Amari Cooper. But it just seems like there are plenty of quarterbacks to play, particularly on the high end where he is. And like the high end wide receivers aren't as great this week. And so I feel like if I'm going to try to get some of that Cowboys offense, I'd probably do it through Cooper than I would Dak.
Do you like Mahomes more than Dak?
The only hesitancy I have on Mahomes is how much I like Edwards-Helaire. And so, like, I don't know if I necessarily want to play both of those guys, at least for somebody like me who makes one lineup. The Chiefs offense is one that you can't have multiple pieces of, but
of course.
It's tough to see like both of those guys having good enough games, especially since you have to pay so
much. And biggest favorite on the slate. So you just wonder, second half, they pass a lot. That's the issue with me and Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. I think I go Lamar of the three if I had to pick one.
Yeah. Yep. I agree.
Assuming the knee works out and all that kind of stuff. So let's jump way down. We've got, I guess, three quarterbacks under Minshew who I think people will consider, and definitely I'm considering. The first is Matt Ryan, who I'm considering the least of this group. He's 6,100. He's looked terrible the last couple weeks. He kind of starting to look old. And I know with quarterbacks, you know, that can break out pretty fast. People thought Aaron Rodgers looked old last year, and obviously that's not the case. Mm-hmm. Maybe no Julio Jones, though, definitely knocks me down on Matt Ryan. But 35-plus passes each of these four games. They're obviously throwing the ball a ton. Carolina played Kyler pretty well last week. Justin Herbert had 330 on them the week before. I'm not playing Ryan this week just because I like a couple of guys cheaper more than him, but I wanted to hear what you thought about Ryan against this Panthers defense.
I pretty much play Ryan like when I have to. Like if he was like 4,000 or if he was playing, if there's nobody else on the slate, like I really do my best to just not play him. And so.
And if I'm going to play him, I want Julio Jones to be playing that week.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You want a perfect situation and this is just not it. Like you said, he's looked absolutely garbage the last two weeks. And so it's crazy to like say this out loud if I thought of it like a year ago. But like if I could pay 100 more for Gardner Minshew, why wouldn't I just do that?
Well, what if you could play 200 less for Teddy Bridgewater in the same
game? Yes. So Bridgewater is the reason I'm hesitant on Davis.
Okay.
Even though a lot of Davis's value is catching passes from Bridgewater, so I have less concern there. But that's like what starts get you going down this hill of like, do I want to try to get almost all of the Panthers offense? And it's like, this is a slate where we have games that have like high totals. The Panthers have like the eighth, I think, highest implied team total. I guess that includes this Arizona team. So if they don't play, but like at 5,900, you can do that. It's not like you're paying 6,900 or 6,500 on DraftKings. And so, I think Bridgewater makes a ton of sense. And I think people will definitely try to play them. And Atlanta, we know, can put up points. And we know that they give up a ton of points. And so, if you can get Davis and Bridgewater for a fairly low percentage of your salary cap, then I guess it's not crazy.
Yeah, Atlanta's given up three plus touchdowns and 320 plus yards in three of their four games. So they've obviously been getting thrashed. And like you said, they score. So, you know, when you have a quarterback, you want a bad defense, but you also want the other team to come back and score on you. I think a lot of people are going to probably stack a bunch of players in this game, whether it's, you know, a couple of Carolina guys, then Calvin Ridley on the way back, or you go, Mike Davis if you want to go the running game. But 5,900, I think I'm very interested here. Definitely will have him in some lineups. I don't love Teddy Bridgewater, but I think that just the matchup works perfectly. He had the rushing touchdown last week, which really boosted his stats. I don't think you're going to expect that. Yeah. He's not really a running guy, but a good week last week with the three touchdowns, two of them through the air against Arizona. This is obviously a great matchup. It's a great game script. It's the best kind of matchup game script you're going to get for a quarterback that imaginable. So at 6,000, I got to think a lot of people are going to gravitate there if they go cheap.
Yeah, I think he's he's one of the two cheap guys that people go to. And like you said, like you never play Bridgewater because you think Bridgewater is a great play himself. It's like the matchup right. and the price is just what makes sense with the two of those combined. And so here we are.
And the issue why Bridgewater might not be as high as maybe we think is that there's another guy down here. Daniel Jones is 5,400 on DraftKings. We talked about the Dallas defense. I mean, they are just Baker Mayfield did not actually do that well against them. You know, Beckham had the 50-yard run, and then Jarvis Landry had one of the touchdowns too. So he only had 165 yards, but he did have the two touchdowns. But I mean, Russell Wilson was 315 for five. Matt Ryan was 273 with four touchdowns. So they Dallas has clearly been giving it up all over the place. Jones has just been so bad. Like the last 3 weeks, 241, 179, 190 yards passing, zero touchdowns total rushing or passing those 3 weeks. I mean, it's been awful. Like he's been absolutely unplayable, but he's faced good defenses. Like everybody that drafted Daniel Jones in preseason did it with the fact like these first 4 weeks are going to be tough. And then, you know, maybe it opens up a little bit. So maybe it does. It's been so bad. He has no Sterling Shepard still has Golden Tate. And also one of my favorite plays this week, Darius Slayton, who I think is way underpriced on DraftKings. What are you doing with Jones? He's so cheap that you got to put him in the mix in this matchup, but like it's either him or Bridgewater if you go cheap. And do you have a strong preference between the two?
No, there's a different cheap guy that I would go to.
Oh, there's another cheap
it's
guy.
It's not Daniel Jones.
Wow. All right. I want to know who that is then.
Yeah. It's weird that Jones, is so like that is not a consideration because like you would think that once Barkley went down, they would be like, all right, we'll just like turn the game over to Jones. And
right.
It turns out that was a terrible idea. But I still don't know like how else they play. Like they're playing a team that scores a ton of points. Their defense is horrific. And so Jones makes sense, I think, from a volume standpoint, just because they're going to have to throw the ball to keep up unless the Dallas is just on the field forever, which theoretically could be the case, but they're still going to have the Giants are still going to have to throw while he's on the field. But yeah, I feel like I would rather take my chance with somebody like Slayton in a position where I may not have a ton of guys that I like, as opposed to kind of I almost feel like it's wasting your quarterback spot. Not that Jones is like I think it's a great GPP play. I've already tried. Like I think I have had a Giant stack every single week this season, and I'm going to be the guy who is either bankrupt by week 8 or I finally hit one by week 16 that and I can say the I told you so's. But
I'm curious. Is Derek Carr?
It's Kyle Allen.
Oh, you're going Kyle. How cheap is he on?
4,100.
Oh, there you go. So that makes sense. I mean, that's insanely cheap.
Like it doesn't matter. Like nothing else matters. Like they're at home. They are huge underdog. Is it huge actually? I don't even know what the last, it's certainly not close. Like, 7.5.
I think it's 7 or 8. Yeah. Right.
And he's 4,100. That's it. Like what you can do elsewhere. If you just think of like, what's the realistic stat line or at least fantasy point total for Allen versus Bridgewater. And can I use that 1800 in salary elsewhere to make it up? And, I mean, 4,100 is really low. Like 5,100
sure.
is low. 58, 59 for Bridgewater. Like those are kind of low, but like 41 is really low. And, I mean, the floor is like 4, like he could be really, really bad. But I mean, he has like a full season of starting or relatively full season. Did he go 16 games last year? I don't even know.
I think he played like 14.
Right. So it was enough. There were people who played him last year. And I mean, he's got like a very legitimate top wide receiver. And so
that helps.
Ron Rivera kind of already called him a game manager, which is like never really the way you want to go for a fantasy quarterback.
That's always what you want to hear pregame.
Right. But at 4,100, I'll be completely honest that at least my current cash lineup, which is never the same Friday morning as it is Sunday. But I don't have Kyle Allen, but like the more you build with it, you're like, gosh, it's this piece to this piece. You know, it's like you just you can upgrade everywhere with that kind of salary savings, particularly if you're somebody who's like, well, let me play Lamar at 7,900. And then you go down to 41 not to say they're in the same tier, obviously, but like that's a lot of money.
That's half the price. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I don't know. I think there will definitely be people who look at a starting quarterback for a home team at 4,100 and just say, let's try it.
Yeah. And a home underdog that should have to throw the ball the second half. I mean, the Rams can play some D. You know, they got some Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, obviously, back there, too. Yeah. And it makes sense. I don't think I'm probably going to do it. But now that you say it, I'm certainly going to try and build something. And you can, you know, you could do you pair him with McLaurin, then you could do a, you know, you could get Zeke and Amari and another receiver. And it becomes pretty interesting pretty quickly, though.
Yeah. The rest of your lineup really looks okay. And the salary savings that you get down from Allen is a lot. I mean, obviously just the salary itself is a lot, but like you can do a lot more of the salary savings down to Allen than you can with Jones. And we know Jones has been awful. We don't know anything about how Allen is with Washington.
Yeah. Interesting. So let's jump into the wide receivers, but first a note from our sponsor, StableDuel. Are you dominating your fantasy football league? Well, now there's another game you need to play. Imagine fantasy for horse racing. StableDuel is live with daily contests offering thousands of dollars to be won each week. Download the StableDuel app, create your account, and start selecting your horses today. Competing against other players for winner's circle glory and big money prizes. Are you new to racing? Not to worry. StableDuel is simple and fun with low-level entries and big payouts. Name your stable, select 10 horses within your bankroll, and watch each horse accumulate points depending on where they finish. Invite friends to compete against and show them who dominates in all sports, including the sport of the kings. Download the StableDuel app and build your stable today. Get in the action at StableDuel. Play, race, win. So, Andrew, a couple times you mentioned Amari Cooper. I kind of see him as the top. He's not the top receiver salary-wise, but I kind of see him as the top guy to play. He's 7,400. DeAndre Hopkins, who you know may or may not be on the slate by the time games start on Sunday, is 7,900. Amari 7,400. Cooper's just so darn consistent. He had 16 targets last week. He has 51 targets through four games. And granted, a lot of that is Dallas has been had to catch up and throw the ball. But, you know, I think even if they get some points, I think Dallas is going to throw the ball a good amount. He has at least 80 yards in every game. He finally scored last week. The Giants haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher or 100-yard receiver. They've just been trailing a bunch. James Bradbury, who will cover Amari, is pretty good. I find it hard to really find arguments against Amari Cooper right now with just the crazy volume he's getting.
Yeah. Every week I've gone in and be like, all right, let me just play CeeDee Lamb. Like I don't need to pay up for a Cooper or, I didn't play Gallup his one big week, but it's like every time I try to make a case to not play Cooper, he just has another huge game. And just like looking at the top, wide receivers on the slate, like Hopkins, could just kill the Jets. Like the Jets pass defense is just horrific. And so like, I get it if that game even happens, but just looking at the other top price wide receivers, and not that you have to play a top price wide receiver, but it just seemed like all of them had a reason not to play them. Like Ridley's a little banged up, but I expected to play. Julio might not play, I feel like we've gone back and forth with Ridley. Like, well, if Jones plays, then you know, the defense doesn't have to key on Ridley. But then like, if he doesn't play, then Ridley is going to get all the targets. But we saw that put up a donut in the last, what was that, last week or 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, it was last Monday night.
Monday night.
Ridley for a zero was impossible with how that game worked.
Right.
It was,
right.
He had five targets. He almost had a touchdown late too. It was just kind of a little bit off on the throw, but I mean, Calvin Ridley for zero catches is a crazy stat considering how good he's been the first 3 weeks.
Right. And Julio got hurt. So he was like, you know, off for a little bit. I mean,
even if Julio plays, I would not touch that one. The fact that he came in and played and then left early last week, there's no way I want to touch that right now.
Yeah. And so like, you just keep going. Like I pretty much never play Tyreek Hill in cash, but like, I get that some people do, but if I'm so like, if you think that KC can just get up ahead, and obviously Tyreek Hill can be a part of getting up ahead, but if you're going to play Edwards-Helaire, and I don't usually want to have a running back and a wide receiver from the same team unless they're from the Carolina Panthers. But you just keep going down, and it's like, if you have consideration for Juju Smith-Schuster, Deontay Johnson has just as much, actually probably more targets when he's healthy and he's cheaper. Will Fuller is like a injury always waiting to happen, but I kind of like was considering Will Fuller because it was like, well, I like Watson. Fuller is our top guy. We learned last week that Brandon Cooks is definitely not going to be a consistent guy.
That was a freaking no-show.
Yeah, speaking of donuts. And then you get down to like the Rams guys with Kupp and Woods. I actually really like DJ Chark, but I just feel like I never play Chark in cash, and at 6,500, like he's not that cheap. So you just like keep going.
Yep.
And like I think there are cheaper guys to play, but like Cooper just sticks out of these guys. And obviously you can make the case against Cooper that the Cowboys get up big and then they just run as much as they can with Zeke. But it just seems like he feels a little more or a little safer than the other guys. And so if you have the salary, I mean, if you play Kyle Allen, you're going to have the salary. But like, I don't know. He just like seems much safer to me than all of the other top guys. And again, not that you have to play a top guy, but I don't know. He provides some safety that I just feel like the other guys, there's a question mark on like all of them.
So I know Arizona may not play this week, as we learned this morning, but I want to talk about Hopkins just real quick. This is a weird offense right now. They are doing nothing down the field at all. It's so strange. DeAndre Hopkins had 9 targets last week. This is DeAndre Hopkins, like stud wide receiver 1, maybe the best receiver in the league. 7 catches for 41 yards. I don't even know how you build an offense where DeAndre Hopkins catches 7 balls for 6 yards a catch. It's wild. I mean, he has 7-plus catches every week. You're just getting nothing downfield. He has 9-plus targets every week. It's a great matchup, like you mentioned. But I don't know. It just seems like I watch these games, and Kyler's like literally drop back, boom, 4-yard pass. Or he runs, and obviously the rushing stats have created a nice floor for him. But I don't know. I don't think I can play up for Hopkins in a week where there's Cooper and Ridley, who I like. I think I like both of them more this week. Kyler is ranked 29th in the NFL in YPA at 6.4, and it seems like it's kind of regressing. Like the first couple weeks, we're like, oh, he's going to be a mix of rushing and passing. This is really good. And I mean, they looked horrible last week. They looked really genuinely bad last week. And the obviously he was 24-31 last week for 133 yards. Like, I don't even, and he has a stud wide receiver 1. I don't even know how that's possible for a guy that they're obviously playing the run. I guess you don't have to play Drake, but I mean, you know that Kyler's going to run. You think he gets some big plays out of there. They're getting 0 big plays. It's wild.
Yeah. I feel like we had the expectation that when they got Hopkins, it was like, oh, they'll try to go downfield a little bit more because he's like one of the best downfield threats. Like, he's not the fastest guy, but like he can get it open and catches everything that's near him.
Sick hands. Yeah.
And yet here we are. I mean, he probably has like a 4.0 ADOT. I haven't looked it up, but I don't know. It's weird.
It ain't good for DeAndre Hopkins, whatever his ADOT is. It's I watch this offense a bunch, and it's kind of gross to watch right now.
Yeah. I mean, the weird thing with Hopkins now is in order to have him pay off his price, he has to catch like 12 passes.
Like, which is, I mean, he did it week 1. I get it. It's possible,
But like, that's what you need. It's not like you're not going to get by. If he only catches 6, like, you're not going to get there. And so, I don't know. It's just play Cooper. Simple as that.
Yeah, although I think I like Ridley more this week. A little bit different on this one. I like receivers coming off bad games. We've talked about that a bunch. I think there's a big like wide receiver squeaky wheel kind of stuff in practice, and I think everybody's been talking about the fact that he had 0 catches. Likely no Julio. Ridley should be a week healthier. There's an injury, the ankle injury. He's going to get better. He sat about a third of the snaps last week, which obviously you don't want if you're paying up this price. But I just think he has big blow potential in this matchup. If I'm going to go on a team with Bridgewater, I'm going to save that money. I'm going to come back with Ridley is kind of a part of that stack. I think that if you save the money on Bridgewater, it's to get up to someone in this game, and Ridley's the guy that I'd want there.
All right, I get that. That's fun.
So let's jump into the other side of that matchup. We've got the Carolina receivers. I think it's well established that I have a gigantic crush on DJ Moore that has not worked out so far this year. He's weirdly like the deep guy in this offense now, and Robbie Anderson is the like target guy they're hitting on shorter passes. It's so odd that it's like totally flipped from last year. Last year, DJ Moore just caught all these passes. He was a PPR stud. He only has 2 targets the last 2 weeks. He had 22 the first 2 weeks. I just don't know what's happened here. Still playing a ton of snaps. It's a really good game script, but he's more expensive than Robbie Anderson, which is frustrating because Robbie Anderson has been much better. Robbie Anderson's 5,900 on DraftKings. Moore is 6,000. Robbie Anderson's been really good. 99 plus yards in 3 of the 4 games. He had 11 targets last week. Obviously, we talked about enough of this game script that we know that we like both sides of this game. Atlanta's allowed 5 receivers over 90 yards already this year. You mentioned playing Carolina receivers. So are you playing Anderson over Moore?
Yeah, Robbie Anderson and Cash, man. This is they're using him exactly how I thought the Jets should have used him the entire time. And yet they were just like, oh, no, just run as fast
as
you
can. I'm shocked that Adam Gase didn't use someone correctly. That would never happen. Sorry, that was just mean.
Low blow, seriously.
I feel for you having Adam Gase as your coach. He's just awful.
But yeah, I think more – like I think there's a legitimate move to have play Robbie Anderson and Cash this week. I think he's going to be more popular than Moore. And like Moore should be a perfect GPP play. Like play Bridgewater more. Like I think Moore is the play over Anderson in GPP.
There's been so much talk this week about Robbie Anderson and how he's DJ Moore is the bust and Robbie Anderson is the breakout. It's a prime spot to use Moore in GPP. I think you're right there.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely the way to go. But like playing Robbie Anderson in cash seems nuts. Just as somebody who knew, like, I'm so used to him not even being in the discussion, and now it's like, oh my gosh, like he's another one exactly the same price as his quarterback. And I mean, how much Panthers can we get?
Yeah, if I win a GPP with DJ Moore, I'm sending you a jersey 1,000%.
And of Moore Anderson.
We may do some video podcasts later this year as we go along. If I send it to you, you have to wear it for the podcast. That's a promise.
I'll just wear it for every podcast.
Beautiful. Maybe like to all events that you go to in your life.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
School conference, DJ Moore Panthers jersey. Yeah. Like, you won't stick out at all.
Can I at least request the black one? I feel like that one's a little more dressy.
If I win, you can pick any color you want.
Yeah, although those blue ones are pretty nice. But
I got the blue ones too.
So because of Anderson and Moore, do we just not – and how much we like Cooper, do we just not think about CeeDee Lamb?
So CeeDee Lamb scored twice last week, was healthy during the game. You and I both talked about how like the week before he went out for a little bit and Cedric Wilson kind of took his stat. Like he had those slot catches. And we're like, if Lamb was in there, like that would have been his plays. And he has 5+ catches every week, at least 55 yards in every game, 2 touchdowns last week. I just think that this is a week where I will play that game script a little bit with CeeDee Lamb. Like I want him in a game where they're going to have to throw second half. I don't think they're going to have to. I know you do a little more than I do, but I think I'm no CeeDee Lamb this week. I love him as a player. I just think there's like 5 guys in this range I like a little bit more.
Yeah, I think – not that I think anybody's stacking the Giants, but if you're dumb enough like me to stack the Giants again, I feel like because Cooper's going to be popular, like Lamb could be the decent run back. Frankly, just play them both maybe.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to go game stacking this game and you think you're getting, 37, 34, I think you play them both.
Yeah, especially because if you want to go heavy on the Giants, like you can, we'll get to Evan Ingram later, but like you can play tight end, you can play wide receiver, tight end, and then 2 wide receivers from the other side. This game's going to be like 6-3 now that they'll cover though. 6-3 Giants. How about that?
There you go. So there's a lot of other guys in this range Terry McLaurin. We talked about Kyle Allen this week. McLaurin's just one of those guys that, like, even when they're trailing, they just pump targets to him. He was 10 for 118 last week on 14 targets. Jalen Ramsey usually does not shadow wide receivers, so I think that they can move McLaurin around enough where they can avoid Ramsey some. But he has nearly 10 targets per game for a guy who's explosive and really good. Like, you love the volume. Should be a nice game ship. He's still pretty cheap. He's 6,100 DraftKings, so he's definitely a step down from those, the top guys. I think he's a fine play this week. There's other guys in this range I like maybe more, but I think he's very solid this week,
too. I think that's a great way to put it. Like, there are probably guys we like more, but they're all kind of in the same realm. And if McLaurin's going to be not as popular, then obviously we should go in that direction since we know he's got, like, huge upside. And he's got what we think might be a competent quarterback.
So we have ripped on Devontae Parker for being a little bit injury prone in the past. I'm going to give Devontae Parker some props. He was hurt early last week, like in the first series. I texted you. I'm like, oh, well, it looks like our week's over.
We're Devontae dead. Parker
just went to the locker room. Like, he's never one that you ever expect to come back out of the locker room. And he did. And not only did he, but he had 12 targets, caught 100 balls for 110 yards. He stepped up huge. So I like Devontae Parker again this week. 49ers. Their entire secondary, every cornerback, their safeties are fine, but their cornerbacks are like their top 6 guys are hurt. It's Sherman, Mosley, Witherspoon, K'Wan Williams got hurt last week. Dante Johnson is questionable. The fact that I know all these cornerbacks is problematic.
They've all been playing.
Jason Verrett, who like missed the last 3 years, their number one cornerback right now. It's just wild. I mean, they just cannot get guys healthy. And there are a couple of guys, those guys that might come back, but none of them are 100%. I think Parker at 5,900 in a game where they are underdogs, Ryan Fitzpatrick is still going to play. There's starting to be some Tua rumblings, but Fitz is still the guy, and I definitely want Fitz if I'm going to play Parker. But I just think it's a good game script. I think that he's going to be a little underlooked this week after last week against such a great matchup. Everybody wanted to play him, and obviously we did the same, and we played him. $5,900 is still really cheap on DraftKings for a guy who's very heavily involved. He gets a ton of targets. I love that he came back and hooked us up last week. He's a strong play for me again this week.
Yeah, I think he's going to be certainly overlooked just because of the guys we were just talking about.
Exactly.
So I don't know. Despite you and I probably next in line to get tryouts to be their cornerbacks, I always hesitate on the San Francisco against the San Francisco defense.
They're gonna rush Fitz pretty good. So I just think if they do get ahead with the game script, I think that you could see a lot of second half action for Parker.
Yeah. No, I get that.
And I don't think they throw jump balls to him and it works. Like I that's what I would do if I were them. But I don't know if the teams tend to not do that very much. But the Niners have nobody who can guard him right now.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think about the Niners wide receivers? They're all much cheaper, and they all none of them have kind of the targets that Parker gets. But they're all really cheap, like all of them.
They are. I just don't know how you like go about picking one. Like Ayuk scored last week, but it was on a running play. Deebo only played 25 snaps and looked, maybe looked like he is still getting into football shape, but looked pretty good. I mean, he just finished his plays so well. I think he led them in receiving even with those snaps. It wasn't a high number, but that's obviously a receiver's obviously taking Kittle out of that. I don't know. I just think it's too hard right now to predict. If you give me like 2 weeks on Deebo, he's a guy that I probably want to play before his price goes up, but I don't think I'm ready to quite go there yet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm skipping a few guys that I want to talk about, but like Bourne is 4,200.
No thanks.
Okay.
I mean, Garoppolo likes looking at him in the red zone, but I think you have to get a touchdown for that to work. And good Lord, freaking Kendrick, catch the ball. Like, geez. That drop last week was
You got so a little bad. DeMarcus like, Robinson in him.
Yeah, like you got Mullins and C.J. Beathard. Like, dude, help them out. They're clearly not playing. Beathard actually played pretty well, but Mullins was so bad. And Bourne had that big drop. I think Bourne is a guy that you need to get a touchdown from. They do like him in the red zone. Jimmy does especially. So if he plays, you could probably slot him and hope for a touchdown in a GPP. But I don't know. I don't have much confidence in trying to like pick which one of them has a good game.
Okay, that's fair. What do you think of the disrespect of your favorite wide receiver being 5,600 on DraftKings?
It's crazy. Like, why is he so much cheaper than Juju? Like, Deontay Johnson, I get he left early with concussion week 3. They didn't play last week, so maybe like out of sight, out of mind, but I'm scrolling up here and I have to scroll all the way up to get to Juju. I mean, he's just so much more expensive. I think he's like $1,200 more. He's $1,100 more. He's $1,500 more on FanDuel. Deontay Johnson had 23 targets the first 2 weeks. He had 14 catches. He's a big play guy. I get that Juju's in the slot and he avoids Darius Slay, so maybe that plays into a little bit, but at $1,100, like I don't know if I'm gonna play Deontay. He's definitely bolded for me and I'll have some lineups, but there's no way I played Juju over him if I'm going head to head here at the price difference.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't even really comparing him to Juju. Like, just 5,600 versus any of the other guys. Like, what?
Yeah.
Why is he 1,000 cheaper than Will Fuller or 900 than Cooper Kupp? Like, I don't. It seems like although Kupp and Woods are both up there. I was gonna say, like, it seems like other than guys like Ridley and Jones that have to be expensive. But, like, I don't know. It seems like they look at Deontay Johnson and just like, oh, he's a number two. Like, just push him down. But, like, the targets are there. Theoretically, it's a somewhat tough matchup. But, like, at 5,600, like, it feels like a misprice to me.
It feels that way to me, too. I don't know why. And we talked about it a couple weeks ago. He did really well for us. We played him again in week 3. And, I mean, concussion, you can't really fault him for that. But, if anybody was going to be benefited by the COVID buy they had, it's Deontay Johnson. He gets an extra week from that concussion and not to rush him back. At 5,600, I think he's very, very playable.
Yeah. Do you like him more or less than DJ Moore?
I don't like anyone more than DJ Moore.
Oh, okay, okay.
I like the Panther. I think I'll have a lot of laps where I play a Panther and Deontay or a Panther and Devontae Parker. I probably like the Panthers a little bit more just the way I think that game flow works out. But I would not argue against anybody playing Deontay over him, but my goal is to play Deontay with them.
Okay. Okay. And so where do you put Slayton with these guys? Because obviously Slayton is much cheaper, but like,
I think Slayton's a blatant misprice.
Yeah. That's how I feel. Granted, I played him earlier this season. I'm trying to think of which game it was, which he was just
horrific. It was not the first game, which he went crazy and had two touchdowns.
Yeah, it was maybe it was any of the next ones because he really hasn't done much since. But
I just think it at 4,800, like he stuck out to me as not only a guy that you obviously get game script matchup against the Dallas defense, but he's a good player too. Like he's talented. He's had many blow up games. You're going to give me that under 5,000. I'm going to take that every time. He had 14. He has 14 targets the last couple of weeks. He's really good, but only six catches. So quote Daniel Jones. You know, Daniel Jones is the problem here. Like he's inaccurate. He's not played well. But he has four. Slayton has four end zone targets. He plays all the snaps. Sterling Shepard's not going to play, so Slayton's going to be out there every play. Three different wide receivers have already scored twice against the Cowboys in 4 weeks. Beckham was 581 and two last week. Lockett and Metcalf both had 100 yards the week before. I clicked on Slayton. I'm like, oh, you know, at 56, I thought it was going to be like mid fives. I'm like, it's going to be hard to play him over Deontay or Robbie Anderson or DJ Moore. At 4,800, he's going to be all over my lineups.
Yeah, my thought is that he could be popular only because so many people are going to want to stack the Cowboys.
I think he's
the obviously run back.
I think he's going to be very, very popular.
Yeah, so there's that. I mean, what do you think is the difference? I don't know how to word this correctly, but we're talking about like Daniel Jones is what's holding him back because he's like so accurate, but like he still like slings it. Like he, can we call him a poor man's Jameis Winston in that like he's willing to just throw? And I mean, we played Jameis, obviously Slayton is not Mike Evans nor Chris Godwin, but like, are we potentially at a point where we look at Jones like that, that we're just like, he makes a ton of mistakes, but like, if we're not playing Jones, it doesn't matter how many mistakes he makes as long as Slayton gets his targets and catches, right?
I think the difference, I do think that's true. I mean, he has 32 attempts in each or more in each week. I think the difference with Jameis is like he would try and fit stuff into tight spots, and that's where he gets interceptions. Daniel Jones like misses wide open.
Just misses wide open guys. Okay.
Like, that's fair. At least Jameis, if like Evans was wide open, he would hit him. It's just a matter of that he had two guys on him, he'd throw it anyway. So, which you love for a wide receiver. I just think it's a misprice. I think to under 5,000 in a game where, you know, if they're there with them, I think it's because they scored a bunch of points. And if they're not, they're trying to catch up. So I think either way works for Slayton. I just think Slayton's too good. I mean, look at the receivers around him. Like he's 100 less than T. Higgins, who I like, but like I think Slayton's a better play this week. He's 100 less than Hunter Renfrow, who I kind of like because he gets some action, but there's no way I play him over Slayton. I just think in the price range, he stuck out to me so much that I'm afraid he's got to be popular because there's no way I'm the only one who scrolled it and like, oh my God, this is the wrong price. Like, I don't think anywhere near highly of myself think I'm like finding tricky here. I think he's gonna be popular, but I think I'm going to eat some of this chalk and play him in this matchup.
And I mean, the matchup is significantly better than the ones that you referenced, like better than Renfrow and I'm blanking.
T. Higgins.
Right. And Higgins. So like, yeah, I think, I mean, you're obviously, I guess he's the piece, if you don't want to pay up at all at wide receiver. I mean, we've talked about like numerous guys under 6,000 you can play.
I will definitely have some lineups with like three guys that's like 6,200 and below.
Right, right. Slayton, yeah. Johnson, and DJ Moore. I mean,
for sure.
There you go. So,
So I got a $3,000 guy for you. You want to hear about him?
Of course.
Plays on an offense that we've talked about a bunch this week already. High scoring game, had 54 and 53 snaps the last 2 weeks.
Wow.
He has 15 targets the last 2 weeks. He was 8 for 86 last week. Played on Monday night, which always helps because the pricing adjusts. Olamide Zaccheaus for the Atlanta Falcons against the Panthers. I'm sure I butchered the last name and everybody can yell at me for that one. If Julio Jones does not play, and I don't think he's going to, I love this play at 3,000. I think I was shocked that he was min. I was like, I wonder if I'm going to be able to get him for 4,000 and kind of sneak him in. But 3,000, an incredible price for a guy with 15 targets last year. Usually you see that price like on a guy that like just maybe got a bunch of targets that first game, but you don't really see it with back-to-back weeks. And it's because he played Monday night, 8 for 86 Monday night. Obviously don't expect that again, but it's very clear that the Falcons can support three wide receivers. So if Julio doesn't play, you can go Olamide and Ridley and Gage. They could all do well, I think. I just think at 3,000 in a game that we think is going to be kind of a carnival, I think it's a really good way to get a piece of this for super cheap.
Yeah, I wish I had like a reasonable response to say why you shouldn't play him.
I wish I knew how to say his name because I hate to play someone I don't know how to say his name.
Yeah, I don't have a clue. but yeah, 3,000, that's really like, obviously you're not getting cheaper than that.
And obviously at 3,000, like, it's a boom bust play. I mean, if a wide receiver is 3,000 for a reason. He's not, there's no floor here at all. But 15 targets the last 2 weeks is really damn nice for a guy this cheap.
I mean, 4 for 41 on 6 targets the week before, like, that was the week prior.
Yeah.
Like, that was in the game log when they priced it. So
that ain't hurting you at 3,000.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And the snaps is what's important to me too. Like, he's on the field a ton when Julio's not playing. 54 and 53 snaps last 2 weeks. I mean, every once in a while you get guys that get a bunch of targets on like 22 snaps. You're like, that's just not sustainable. Like, they're not gonna look at him every play. But if he's out there 50 times in a game that we think, at least I think, goes over, is in the mid 50s in points, I think this is gonna be back and forth. You know, give me a guy running around 55 times, 55 snaps for min price. I'm gonna take that every damn time.
Yeah, that's man, this Kyle Allen, Zacchaeus lineup.
Yeah,
this is gonna
no
be
doubt,
great.
Right? Can you put McCaffrey in that lineup instead? That'd be perfect.
Yeah, what could go wrong?
Last guy I want to ask you about here. You're the Jets fan.
No.
What the heck with Jeff Smith last week?
No. Oh yeah. Classic Jets of like taking a guy right off of injured reserve and making him like their number one wideout. But
the dude had 9 targets out of nowhere in that game. Like, I had to look up. I'm like, who the? And he's an undrafted guy from Boston College, but he's min price too at 3,000. This game may not play on Sunday, which we've talked about, but I don't think I'm going to do it. And definitely with Olamide there, I play him easily instead. But you know, a guy who gets 9 targets at min price, so you at least bring him up.
Yeah, I actually don't believe he is the first Jeff Smith to play for the Jets.
Probably not.
In fact, when I saw him come, like when he was on the field, I was like, wait a minute, that can't possibly be Jeff, like the Jeff Smith that I was thinking about, which I'll have to look that up. I apologize for not doing that.
Did I tell you my Cedric Wilson story last week? I probably did.
I don't think so.
When Cedric Wilson scored that touchdown for the Cowboys, I was like, oh my God, that guy used to play for the 49ers, until I realized it's his son that was catching the passes. So I'm like, suddenly I'm not smart and I'm really old at the same time. I looked up, I'm like, that's the same spelling of Cedric. Like, there's no way that guy's still in the league. I was just a kid, and I was like, oh my God, that's horrible.
According to Wikipedia, it's Jeffrey Allen Smith II. So,
oh, it might be the same situation then.
I might be dating myself as well. But anyway,
let's jump into tight ends. We've got a lot of guys that are expensive.
So many.
We have Waller, Andrews, Kelsey, Kittle, and Ertz on the slate. Like, usually we get a couple of these guys that play on Monday or Sunday night. George Kittle was insane last week. 15 catches, 183 yards, and a touchdown. I had someone reach out to me saying, blaming Kittle for losing the game because he didn't catch that 2-point conversion and didn't get the field goal at the end. I'm like, you realize that they're down 20 points if not for George Kittle this game, right? Like, come on. Tight ends have been nothing on Miami, but they haven't faced any real ones. I just think I'll probably pay down at tight end, but if not, I prefer Kittle to Kelsey and Andrews for sure. I think Waller is probably my second favorite because you get a little bit of discount there at 5,900. And, you know, he has double digit targets in 2 of the last 3 weeks. He just had that one game against the Patriots where Belichick took him away. Of these 5 guys, I guess the top will throw Ertz in there too. Do you have a strong preference for one if you pay up?
I don't think it's fair to look at tight end, like defensive tight end stats when you look at Kittle. Like,
I same with me. I mean, I just looked at him like, when I was Miami's down, they literally faced 4 guys I'd never heard of.
But and even so, like, does it even like what? There's probably 3 teams in the league where you're just like, no, I'm not gonna play Kittle against them.
And it's like it's same. Like, Kittle and Kelsey, like, they just they line up and play differently than every other tight end.
Yeah, but at least with Kansas City, like, you know that they could give the ball to Edwards-Helaire, and you know that like Tyreek Hill is there. We didn't talk about like Hardman or Watkins if you wanted to play a Kansas City stack. Like, I think that's perfectly fine as well. But it's funny. I was thinking to myself, I think one of the teams I wouldn't play Kittle against is San Francisco, normal San Francisco. So that even takes one out. But
I mean, he's their number one target by leaps and bounds.
Right. I don't know. I agree on the price difference with Waller that, like, he probably makes more sense. Like, there's no way I'm playing like Ertz. I noticed you left your boy Tyler Higbee off the list at 5,600, which
that was not by accident. No, thank you.
Insane.
With Waller, like, if you do play a Chiefs stack, I think he makes sense. If I'm going to go someone on the comeback in that game, if for me it'd be Waller, just because I think he'd be heavily involved if they're behind.
Yeah, totally agree. And I feel like we're saying all of these guys, like, is Mark Andrews just going unowned?
Probably. Like, weird couple of games. Like, last week he only had 3 targets, but 2 of them were touchdowns. And the week before he did nothing against Kansas City, but because he dropped, like, 1 touchdown and then dropped another big play.
Yeah.
I think no one's going to have Mark Andrews this week, and that probably makes him a more interesting GPP guy than normal.
Yeah. Yeah, he...
But he's clearly, like, when they're in the red zone, like, Lamar locks in on him. He's clearly the red zone guy.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So, like, if you don't want to play these guys... and these guys become much easier to play if you go with some 3,000 wide receiver or Kyle Allen. But if you don't, and
I think if you do, like, that's a good argument. Like, if you do, like, I think bumping up a good amount of tight end to get one of these studs doesn't make sense.
Right. So, like, would you rather play? And I go to Logan Thomas because everybody's been going to Logan Thomas every week, who's 3,500 this week on DraftKings and has done absolutely nothing to justify a higher price, and yet people keep playing him. But, like, would you rather play Logan Thomas and let's say Deshaun Watson, or, yeah, you can say Watson, or would you rather play Kyle Allen and Kittle? Like, those are, it's like that. In fact, you probably could Kittle and you probably improve a wide receiver as well. Like, there's just, like, so much more you can do when you play those guys. So it's just a matter of, like, how many potential zeros do you want in your lineup so that you can play Zeke, Cooper, and Kittle, and possibly, like, even Lamar if you want to play, you know, really punt it at wide receiver or something like that. So
you can play some more significant stars and scrubs lineup this week than I think we've seen in any of the first 5 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. But, like, the next tier down, like, do you think the guys like Schultz and Hurst and Ingram are much better than Logan Thomas and Eric Ebron, like the really cheap guys that we kind of always look to? I think this is absolutely the week that Chris Herndon gets in the end zone because, like, why on earth? I guess they're not even going to play now. So there it is.
Right.
Like, I had that all set up and now they're not even going to play. But
yeah, as you say, if you're gonna play, it's gonna be against a tight end against Arizona, right?
Right, right. And with Joe Flacco throwing to you, like, of course this is gonna be the week. But are there
Joe Flacco, the Jets quarterback? What happened?
Jeez.
Ugh.
Are there any?
I can't believe Sam Darnold came back in with that injury.
It's such gross negligence.
That's like such a perfect way to say it.
And they did it with Becton too, who had like looked like his shoulder popped out of his body, and they were like, "Nah, go back in."
And if you're like 9-6 and it's week 16, you're like, you have to make the playoffs. Like, sure. Put Darnold back in there if he's willing and you think he can't injure it further. But you're not making the playoffs this year. You're not going anywhere. How the hell does he get back in that game?
I will say my favorite thing was Troy Aikman deciding it was a broken collarbone. He's like, I've done that before. Look just like that. He's done. He's done. Like, he is.
He's just the worst. He's so bad.
I hate to say, like, he actually is the worst. Like, if you think of, like, the real national guys, like...
He's easily the worst for me.
Easily. Like, Collinsworth and particularly Romo are just, like, so much better that, like, Aikman starts talking. You're just like, ugh. But anyway.
I said it last night. Nobody likes settling for a 45-yard field goal quite like Troy Aikman. Like, in the game last night, he was, like, trying to set it up. He's like, the Bears just need to do this and this. And they just had – all they got to do is run the clock and get a field goal. I'm like, dude, it's 48 yards now. Like, since when is – especially for a Bears field goal.
For a Bears
like,
kicker,
when is,
yeah.
When is that a lock? Like, he was just, like, shutting down the offense with a 40-yard field goal. Like, that was some luck. But anyway, I tangents that I could go on forever. I think the answer to your question here is if there's ever a week to play Evan Ingram – it's this week.
Yeah.
He's 2,000 cheaper than Kittle. He's 4,600, so he's not expensive. He somehow has 30 targets already. Like, I would have lost that bet. Sure. I'd have been like, Evan Ingram's been really quiet. I'm sure maybe he's getting, like, you know, maybe he has like 18 targets through 4 weeks, but it's 30.
30.
He's only topped 35 yards once, which, you know, again, Daniel Jones. Dallas giving up a touchdown to tight ends 3 straight weeks. Part of that is just part of the fact that they're in crazy games every week. I think I'm going to play Evan Ingram this week, and it might be like, you know, the last stand of Kenyon Drake like last week, but I think I'm going to play Evan Ingram this week, and I think it's going to work.
Yeah, the weird thing about Ingram and kind of the other guys that I mentioned with him, like they look cheap because we're like, wow, Kittle's 66, Kelsey's 64, but like 4,600 is really not that cheap for a tight end. Like when you like, I usually try to pay down at tight end. And I played, what's his name, Troutman 0 last week at 2,500.
Everybody loved Adam Troutman last week.
I think everybody loved a $2,500 tight end playing for Jared Cook. Like,
yeah, it certainly makes sense. And then the fact that he was up a zero was pretty ridiculous.
Right, right. So you go in and you're like, can I get by with a $2,500 zero? And you never really want to think that, because like, right, if that was the case, we would just do it every week. Like, it wouldn't even matter who we play. I'd just play, right, Ross Dwelly just for the
Why you gotta make Ross Dwelly the zero?
No, well, that's true. Because Kittle has 17 catches. That's the problem.
Of course. Yeah.
But the hesitancy, but like, so we talk about how Ingram, 30 targets. Do you know what his ADOT is?
Oh God, it's gotta be terrible. Like 4.5 or 5 or something.
Wow,
like
4.7. That was the best guess I've ever heard on a random tight end ADOT question.
It's just awful. Like, the targets are bad, but
how do you so few catches when your ADOT is 4.7?
That's like, the thing, right? Like, he should have 28 catches when all these are
exactly short. Exactly.
But like, the crazy thing is, not like he's Jimmy Graham where he can't run anymore. Like, this is a guy they drafted because he's super athletic. You can get him downfield. You can kind of use him like, you know, these teams use their really good tight ends, and it's insane they use him like this in the offense. But I don't know. I just think this week in this matchup of this game, I'm going to take the targets. I'm going to take the high scoring game. I'm going to take the coming back against the Dallas offense. And I don't think I can. So here's my question for you: is you're better with like lineup management and game management? Can you play him and Slayton? Because that seems hard to me.
Certainly, if the Giants win the game, right?
Sure. I mean, yeah, like, but like, it just seems hard to me. Like, I don't know if I want two pieces of receivers with Daniel Jones.
Would you want two Giants receivers and three offensive Carolina Panthers? Like, this is the problem that I'm having with the slate, because like, all of these
putting a lot of faith in Teddy Bridgewater and Daniel Jones in that lineup.
Right. Well, I mean, there you go. And so I don't know. It's one of those that, like, if you play Slayton and Ingram and possibly like Moore or Anderson, like, now you're just like walking yourself into Zeke. Like, you have the salary where you're like, you make your lineup and you're like, oh, I like this lineup. Why do I have 4,300 in salary left over? And now you're exactly. Oh, okay. So now I don't have to play McKinnon. I can play, Zeke and Edwards-Helaire, like stuff like that. Like,
you might walk yourself into Zeke and Lamar.
Yeah, you could. Absolutely could. Especially if you're playing one of our $3,000 wide receivers.
You really don't want to say his name out loud, do you?
Zacchaeus?
I'm going to go Zacchaeus. I think that
Zacchaeus?
Works.
Okay.
When he scores twice this week, we'll know his name because we'll hear it so much time.
Because we'll hear it so much time. Exactly, exactly. or we'll be like, hey, remember that time we played zero targets, Zacchaeus? You thought it was Olamide?
I'm going to go Olamide.
Olamide. That makes sense, I guess. It's probably not Olamide.
It's probably not Olamide, but that'd be pretty awesome if it was. Yeah, if it's Olamide, I'm playing him every week. I love that.
That's the jersey I want, actually.
Would you go Ingram over Schultz? So they're kind of the same price.
Yes, yes. The reason is only because, like, I really like Cooper this week, and it was like, well, if I don't like Cooper, I like Lamb. I'm probably not going to play Gallup, but you could also like, there's too many rungs you have to go down, and Schultz has obviously gotten plenty of targets, but like, I just feel like you're getting too far down the ladder before you're like, all right, this is why I'm playing Schultz. Whereas Ingram, it's like, they have Slayton, they have Ingram. You can make the scantest of cases for Golden Tate, but like, you probably play Ingram before Tate anyway. And so, like, yes, I think Ingram makes a lot of sense. But oh, so that's what I was saying before, like, Ingram isn't cheap. Like,
yep.
He's not a cheap tight end. He is cheap when you're like comparing him to the best tight ends in the game with like Kittle and Kelce and Andrews. But like, 4,600 for a tight end is not that cheap. And so you're not like getting a benefit of, you're getting the benefit of not paying the 2,000 for Kittle, but you're not getting the benefit of like a $3,500
right.
Logan Thomas again, who's still a conversation.
Yeah, maybe Logan Thomas, they keep the targets and Kyle Allen's a little more accurate, which might be a good thing. You know who's sucked at tight end that people love is Mike Gesicki. He had that like
he had that
130 in a touchdown game, and the other three games, like, I know he had a touchdown in one of them, but he said nothing in those games. He only has one game over 5 targets. I think he only has one game over 20 yards. Like, it's just really weird for a guy that was popular and people always talk about and like, and he's priced at the, you know, he's above Ingram and Schultz. Oh, I'm wrong. He has one game over 30 yards, and it's that huge blow-up game, but God, he's done nothing other than that.
Mike Gesicki is an air yards all-star. That's why.
Ah, there you go.
Hayden Hurst is first among tight ends. Mark Andrews is...
Really? I would not have guessed that.
262. Mark Andrews is second, and Gesicki's third. Logan Thomas, fourth. Like, he's ahead of guys like Waller, obviously, Kittle and Kelsey. I mean, you don't really think of tight ends anyway as being, like, high air yards guys. Right. But, like, we were talking about how low Evan Ingram's 4.7 ADOT is. Gesicki's is 11.1.
Wow. Yeah, so I guess, I mean, if he's going to hit, he's going to hit nicely. But that's 3 out of 4 games where he's been, like, just a kind of a dead zero.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're somebody who's like, who can I play that nobody else is going to play, like...
Yeah.
It's going to be a Mike Gesicki week for you.
In a game they're coming from behind, sure. I think the guy that I would play probably over Logan Thomas, I'm getting cheaper. He's only 4,000, but you mentioned him quickly, is Eric Ebron. Mm-hmm. Seems to be growing a little bit in this offense. The targets the first weeks have been 2, then 5, then 7. Roethlisberger has used tight ends pretty well in the past. He's 5 for 52 in week 3. They've had a week off. I think if I'm going down there, he's probably the guy that I would play.
Yeah, I get it. I definitely looked at Ebron. I mean, it's, you're looking at him as like, he's a tight end for Ben Roethlisberger, like whoever, it really doesn't matter who it is.
Hey, and we has just, a history of being pretty good in the
exactly,
red zone.
Exactly.
And, yeah. So, any defenses that stick out to you, either cheap or expensive or mid range, anybody you like this week that you're really gonna be playing?
You made fun of me before the podcast, but like, I think the Jets made sense. 2,500, against Kyler. Like was it last week where he got picked off 3 times? Like, I just think
it was in horrible passes.
Yeah.
I might have the week before, but he's definitely forcing some stuff.
Yeah. So I think like that's a possibility if you want to, like, I think they were better than all of the other very cheap options. Like, I'm not going to play the Dolphins even with a banged up 49ers. Like, Jimmy G comes back, although he's, you know, you never know with Jimmy G sometimes, but Miami,
careful.
Like,
careful.
You're not going to play the Bengals against the Ravens, the Giants against Dak, like, or the Raiders against Kansas City. Like, I just don't see the benefit of playing those. They're not, like, they're cheap, but they're, like, they're fine for the price, but, like, I don't think you're going to get anything out of them. Like, if you're comfortable paying $2,300 for 2 points, like, then, yeah, go nuts. But
you haven't listed the one down here that I like.
Houston?
Yep.
Yeah. I tried that last week or 2 weeks ago.
$2,600 on DraftKings playing Jacksonville. They have obviously struggled against the run. We highlighted that, but they do have 9 sacks the last 3 weeks. Jacksonville's given up 13 sacks through 4 weeks. I just think you're going to get some sacks. You get some pressure on Minshew, and maybe they get a pick. I mean, they haven't forced a turnover all year.
Zero
is not, so that's
zero turnovers.
That's really a bad thing as I was going through this, but at that price, if you need to get $1,000 over the more expensive ones, I think that give me the sacks floor, and I'll hope they maybe luck into an interception or something.
Yeah, I mean, like, zero
turnovers is bad.
That's tough. I mean, that's, like, actually tough. Like, the Jets had a pick six.
Yeah, by the guy that got targeted, like, the first 3 quarters and gave up all these passes and had a pick six. It was beautiful.
Who had an interception pulled out of his hands. But do you like the Cowboys for, like, how awful Daniel Jones is? 3,100? Like, that's – I feel like they should be much higher for being how big of a favorite they are.
Not really.
Okay.
I think the defense just sucks so bad.
They're really bad.
If I were to do that, I'd go up 400 to Kansas City.
Okay, yep.
Multiple sacks every game. They forced 4 turnovers against New England. That was Brian Hoyer. But a good game formula. They're favored by a bunch. The Raiders have allowed multiple sacks the last 3 weeks, so I think that works well. The other one I like, if I'm kind of parsing through the top ends, I like Pittsburgh a lot this week.
Yeah, I like that.
They have 15 sacks in their 3 games. Philly's allowed 14 sacks through 4 weeks. And Carson Wentz is making mistakes. They've turned the ball over 9 times the first 4 weeks. I think Pittsburgh's my favorite play. They're 3,800 DraftKings. So they're a little up there, but, you know, cheaper than Baltimore and cheaper than the Rams, a little bit more expensive than the 49ers. I think I'm going Pittsburgh 1, Kansas City 2, and Houston if I want to punt and save an extra $1,000.
Is it that you don't like the Ravens defense, or you think like Burrow can actually handle them?
I just like Pittsburgh more, to be honest. Okay. I think Baltimore's a fine play, really good formula. Burrow's going to force some stuff, probably make a couple mistakes. I like Pittsburgh a little more. Just I think the sack floor plus Wentz making mistakes works out pretty well.
It's funny that we like the Wentz mistake possibility more than Burrow's.
Says a lot, doesn't it?
That team is,
and
just,
it's not like a crazy statement either. Like, I mean, they beat the 49ers last.
I was gonna say, I wasn't sure you were gonna bring up the Eagles at all in this podcast.
The 49ers play. I mean, 49ers handed them that game. That, yep, that pick six Mullins threw might be the worst pass I've ever seen an NFL quarterback make. Like, the second he let it go, I was like, oh my god, that's right to the linebacker. Yeah. Like, that never happens on TV. You can't just, like, you can't see it on, like, if you're at the game, you can see it on TV. He threw it, like, you could see from the second he let it go, he threw it right to him. My father-in-law was watching the game, like, halfway in the ball in the air. He made a comment. I'm like, oh, that's, if he's seeing that ahead of time, we're really in trouble. It was so bad, but
yeah, it was almost like he was the intended target.
Yeah, it was perfect
throw if he was.
Yeah, and he made a comment like, "Oh, I was just trying to throw the ball over his head, and it came out weird." And I was like, "Yeah, that's not. I think he didn't see him, but I don't know how that's possible."
It's the Tom Brady school of excuses.
Exactly, no doubt. But I just think Pittsburgh's going to have 4 or 5 sacks, and you give me that as like a starting point. I love that because I think Wentz will make some mistakes as a result.
Makes sense.
Cool. Anything else that you want to talk about? We did. We kind of went long for a 10-game slate, but I think it's a really fun slate. I think it's an interesting slate. Unfortunately, we got 3 games that are coming off it for COVID reasons. Well, 2, maybe a third with the Jets. I'll have to check the news here. But anybody else that you want to discuss?
No, I think we hit everybody. I mean, I think with a number of guys that, like, in different salary ranges, like, I think they're going to be some pretty different cash lineups this week. I mean, obviously they're always different GPP ones, but like the builds where you pay up a quarterback or you play somebody like Bridgewater, like, drastically changes what you can do. And so, we have cheap players pretty much at every position. And so because of that, there's just so many ways that you can go that if there's like one guy that you really like, it'll be easy to build around him. And so it's just a matter of like what kind of guys you focus on for cash games, and then you can just go from there. But that just, like, the tree of possibilities just gets really big, which should be interesting for those kind of contests.
Yeah, I think that, like, second tier running back, there's like 4 or 5 guys that are playable that are kind of spreads out the percentage owned too. And then the receivers, we talked about like 6 guys in that 5,700 to 6,400 range, and I think that just separates a lot more too. So I think you're gonna get a pretty spread out week, which is always the kind of weeks that I like.
Yeah, especially just because, I mean, we named enough that you could play 3 from there. It's like, you know, you could play 1 if you're paying up, you could play 2 of them, and if you play 3, then like the whole construction of your lineup completely changes because now you're like, well, if I was going to play McKinnon and Davis, it's like, well, now I can play Edwards-Helaire and Zeke, and like that's just such like a drastically different lineup. Yeah.
And it's I like those weeks. I don't like the free square weeks myself. I hate when there's like a 4,000 on running back that everybody has. I think it's a lot more fun. And DFS, the fun for me is kind of building the right combos. And I think it's a lot more fun when you have a spot that's not everybody's taking the same guy.
Yeah, that's the difference between how somebody who focuses on cash games and somebody who focuses on GPPs. That like give me the free squares so that I can just beat somebody with a little 2v2 as opposed to having to go my full lineup.
That's a really good point there. So, well, thanks everyone for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast, the Friday DFS version, week 5. We're clicking through the season pretty well here. We really appreciate you listening. If you could please rate or review the podcast, that'd be fantastic. Helps people find the podcast, which is always a good thing. If you want to follow Andrew on Twitter, he's at RotoWire Andrew. I am at Scott Genstead. Genstead is Genstad. We'll obviously be talking the slate, seeing if there's any injuries or anything that impacts lineups, that kind of stuff as the week goes along. Other than that, hope everybody has a great week. We'll be at you next week. Take care.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.